Very good morning to you all. Nice to see you here on this wonderful sunny day. It's a special day, and I think my microphone might be on a little too loud. It's a sunny day. Here we are in the house of the Lord on the Lord's day, and now no microphone at all. So, as we get started, I just want to ask you, this question. Are you someone that believes if something needs to be done right, you need to do it yourself? Yeah. Are you one of those people? Well, we're starting a new sermon series this morning, and Nathan's going to be talking exactly about that topic, this new sermon series entitled Theology from the Ocean. And later on in the service, we're going to have communion. Now, traditionally, we normally have communion near the end of the service, maybe just before the sermon. But we're going to have it a bit earlier today, before the children go out. So if the children can stay in after the birthday box, then we'll have communion, and then the children can leave. So that's a little bit later. This evening we have a praise and worship service. No? What do we have then? All age service at 3:30. Oh, has it changed? No one told me. All right then, so it's a all-age service at 3:30. So this thing I've got right. Thank you. So, and the reason that I am mentioning the following service is for a reason. So keep that in mind for a second. Next week, we have a baptism service. And so whoever's coming to the next service today, we need volunteers to be able to open up the baptistry. That is the reason for mentioning the next service. Oh, good man. So if someone else can help Paul open up the baptistry, that would be great. So this baptism that we've got next week, we've got more than one person being baptized. So we've got more than one. We've got... No. 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 Five people being baptized next Sunday. So it will be a big day for Candice, for Lewis, for Tony, for Paul, and for Martin. And so we definitely need that baptistry open just to make sure that service goes well. So that's next week. Now we're going to show you a short video Peter's got lined up. Have you, Peter? Okay, I'll let that go.
In the modern world, there's not much space for life's big questions.
Oh my God.
Is there a map to this?
Not much time set aside for. Why am I here?
I don't think there's more to life than each other. I think we are the point.
Is there more to life than this?
Some people dream of finding happiness through money.
I like cars.
Something awakened in me. It was a realization I would never find happiness where I was looking for it.
Where's God in all this?
Growing up, I've lost a lot of people. I would lack answers for that.
Are you real, God?
What's the point in prayer?
What's the purpose behind all this?
We all have different perspectives on the meaning of life.
Does faith do more harm than good?
It takes a lot for me to trust someone.
The Alpha Film Series makes space for the big questions. Each episode unpacks a new topic and gives you time to explore what you think. Try Alpha.
Okay. Well, if you didn't kind of guess what that was a video just outlining all kind of basic questions about the Christian faith, because we're going to have start an Alpha course. And if you're interested in taking part in an Alpha course, or if you know someone that might be interested in taking part in the Alpha course, looking at the elementary aspects of the Christian faith, then please approach either Nathan or Graham. And now I've got Jackie that wants to come and share with us about the Shoebox Ministry. Jackie?
Good morning, church. Isn't it a lovely day? It might seem a long time away, but you know, we're halfway through a year. Where has it gone? And it's time to start thinking and planning for the shoebox appeal in this year. Now, the school holidays are almost upon us, and we're over halfway through 2003, so it's time to begin about this shoeboxes. I'm waiting for information from the organisers, but in the uncertainty of things, they're still working on them. But we can start. I'm aware of all the challenges that there are for all of you and sometimes the worries that we have in making ends meet. Many people in the UK are having to make serious choices to be able to provide for their family. But this isn't just with us. Perhaps it will go a little more with understanding of making choices and making do without. Well, in September and into October, there'll be planned sessions, which I will make sure are promoted, for people to all ages to come to the lounge to help to create shoeboxes. Now, those of you who are familiar with the now annual shoebox appeal will know how many blessings there are in making up a shoebox. A sense of personal collection with the eventual recipient, and we don't know who they are. They go with our love. There's a buzz in the lounge, and it's heartening. Indeed, the love that going into those boxes fills the room. Now, I will put up a notice in the lounge on the board nearest to that exit door when I have full information of what the dates are and when I hear more from Blytheswood. It hasn't arrived yet, but I can put up a list of simple things that we could start to buy and set aside. But by September, it will be all systems go. So if you look at the newsletter, the notice board in the lounge in September, and I hope to be able in September to be able to show a short film that would describe more than words can tell. So watch that board for the updates. Please, please don't think you have to buy all of those things that are on the list. You choose with your heart. Consider carefully the contents. We all have to tighten our belt. We don't have to tighten away love. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you, Jackie. This church, as you know, has been involved in the shoebox ministry for many years now. It's a valuable ministry, given our love through these small tokens every year to those in need. So with that in mind, let's just pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we recognize that we are in this place, your house, and you are our God and our Lord. And you are the one that supplies our strength, and you are the one that gives us all things. Help us this morning, Lord, as we prepare to worship you in song and hear your word being expounded to us. Lord, we pray that we would draw even closer to you, to know you deeper this morning, to know you wider, higher, taller, Lord, such is your love towards us. Help us to draw near to you and to discard anything in our thoughts and in our hearts that might seek to interrupt that. Help us to draw closer to you this morning and to rely on your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. As the Apostle Paul said to Timothy about relying on the Lord for his day-to-day existence, he said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of a lion." Now, that was a good delivery right there. So Paul relied on the Lord for all things, for ministry and indeed for the salvation of his physical life as well as his spiritual soul. So let's, with that in mind, let's stand and sing two songs, Strength Will Rise, as we wait on the Lord, and The Splendor of the King.
Thank you.
So now we have a time where I must ask the question on almost everyone's lips. Is there any one of our children, our young ones here this morning that has a birthday? I'll repeat the question just in case someone didn't hear. Is there any children among us who have had a birthday in the last few days or the next few days to come? No? Okay. Are there any adults that have had a birthday? No? Oh, yeah! It's Adrian, and I won't say his age, because that would not be right.
I'm a child of God.
You're a child of God, that's right. Should we sing happy birthday to Adrian? I want to.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Alright, we're just going to sing a, just before communion, we're going to sing this this old song, a hymn that's called There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood. Does anyone know that one? There is a fountain filled with, a few people, yeah. I knew some of the old hands going up there. When I say old, I mean that respectfully. Nathan the exception, because he just loves hymns. So, we're just going to sing this, There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood, first three verses, then we'll have communion, and then after communion, I'll ask the children to leave. There is a fountain.
He came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth sins, our debts to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name. Just one more time, let's say it together. He came from heaven. He came from heaven to show us the way. From the earth to the our debts to pay. And from the cross, yes, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Amen. John chapter 6 and verse 32 reads like this. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Amen. The bread that we partake of, that gives sustenance to our bodies, it's good for the body, but it cannot satisfy the soul. That's why the old songwriter says, only Jesus can satisfy our soul. And that's why Jesus put it so apropos that Jesus, the Son of God, God sent his only begotten Son to be the bread that came from heaven to earth. And as we've just sung, to show us the way to have a relationship with the Father. And that's why we partake of this sacred meal together, to remember that great sacrifice that Jesus paid on the cross for our sins. This meal is freely available to all those who love and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. If you're not at that place where you have placed your trust and confidence in Jesus, then I would just encourage you to allow this meal to pass you by until you come into that full knowledge of Jesus for yourself. I'm going to invite one of our deacons to come and lead us in a prayer of thanks for the bread and for the wine.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I always say thank you that it's a privilege, Lord, to come to partake of this table. Lord, we say thank you, Heavenly Father God, for the life, Lord, and the liberty that you've given us in this time. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, you bless these emblems, Lord, each one.
Yes.
And bless each one, Lord, that takes part of them. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, records these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. "For I have received of the Lord that which I also now deliver unto you, that the same night that our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he said to his disciples, 'Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me.'" Well, church, as you're now served with what represents the body, the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, please do eat as you receive it and be thankful in your hearts. Amen.
Yeah.
their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners, and sin beneath. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Yes, lose their guilty stains. And sinners plunge beneath the flood. And sinners plunge. Thank you. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you. In like manner, he then took the cup, said these words, "This cup is the new covenant that will now be in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it. Do it in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat from the bread and we drink from this cup, we do show forth and proclaim the Lord's death until he comes for us again." Well, as you're now served with what represents the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed on the cross at Calvary, please do retain your cup until we've all been served, and then we'll partake together as a sign of our unity that's through the blood of Jesus. Amen. His blood flows to the highest mountain, reaches even to the lowest valley. The blood that gives us strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Let us drink together now the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and be thankful in our hearts. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Father, we thank you so much for the cost of our salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the greatest sacrifice ever known, that Jesus came from heaven to earth. He purchased our redemption, our salvation, with his own blood. And we're grateful, Lord, that as we reflect on all that Jesus has done for us, we're mindful that if there be no shedding of blood, then there can be no remission for our sins. So with gratitude in our hearts, we simply say thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for all that you endured on our behalf. We pray, Lord, that we will continue to live for you, to proclaim your gospel, and to stand for the truth of your holy word. The death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, and the soon return of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Just before I hand back over to Brian, is Cresta here? Is Cresta here? No? Oh, Cresta, yes. Please come down. We're going to officially welcome into membership Cresta. She's joining our family, and we want to welcome her into the church. Let's give her a hand as she comes. Turn around so they can all see you. So this is Cresta, and we are so grateful, Cresta, that you have decided to join us. We have not forced you to join us, but she has felt led of the Lord to want to become an official member of this church. And we're grateful she has decided to do that, aren't we? And you are so welcome, you and your family. We pray that you will continue to be blessed by the ministry here. And we know already God has given you so many gifts to be used in his service. And we want you to get more involved and just allow the Lord to use you in his church. So welcome. Let me officially give you the right hand of fellowship. Welcome in the name of the Lord. And here's some nighttime reading for you. God bless you. Amen. Let me just pray for Cresta at this time. Lord, we thank you so much for sending Cresta to us. And thank you for her family. And Lord, we just pray that as she continues, Lord, to grow in the wisdom and the knowledge, Lord, of you, we pray that she will continue to be blessed here and that, Lord, she would also seek to be a blessing. We pray, Lord, that this church will surround her, comfort her, and just support her in the good times and even in the bad times. Pray that she will know that she has a family here that loves her and that wants to journey with her through this life as we continue to serve you. So bless her, Lord, and we just welcome her now into, Lord, this local family of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you, Brian.
Two. as they do, we'll just pray for them and we'll pray for the leaders. Heavenly Father, we thank you for children. Lord, we know that they greatly blessed you whilst you were on this earth, and you were ministering and you held them close to you, Lord. And so we hold children dear to us also in this place. And so we ask that they would have fun and that they would learn from you, Lord, and pray for the leaders, Lord, that they will be able to share whatever you have placed on their heart, Lord, with clarity and with strength and with much exuberance and joy, Lord, that the children may grow in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm just going to share this one passage, then we'll have a time of shortened prayer so we can have more time for the word. This is from Proverbs. This is just a verse that, it's a well-known verse, but I think it's one that's really appropriate. It goes with the songs, goes with the service, and it's reminding us that we shouldn't rely and try to do everything in our own strength. There are things, of course, that we do need to do things in our own strength. This is from Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. We acknowledge the Lord. He shall direct our paths. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that you are God over all creation, that you alone are holy and righteous above all, Lord, and you have purchased us with your blood, the blood of your Son. And Lord, we, the redeemed, come before you now, and we express our thanks with all our heart for saving us, Lord, saving us from eternal damnation, and for giving us hope, a hope of eternity in our hearts, Lord, a hope that is filled with joy and filled with peace. Lord, I pray for our nation and for our nation's leaders, Lord. It seems that they are so confused at the moment which way to go, Lord, but I pray that you will be able to break through whatever it is, Lord, that they're having difficulties with, where their struggles are. Lord, is it impossible that they should hear from you and turn to you? Lord, is it impossible that our nation once more will be a light and a beacon to the world as it once was in times past? Lord, we look to you because we know that if left to our own devices, we are weak and we just all wander each in our own way. Lord, also pray for the church this morning. Lord, may we be an obedient church, ready and willing to serve one another, to love one another. Lord, to fulfill the law, the great commission, go out and preach the gospel to all nations. Lord, we thank you for that opportunity, that blessing to share the gospel. And Lord, with that in mind, I pray that you would raise up even more evangelists among us with a heart to share the gospel, to go out into the town of Sittingbourne, that people will be touched by what you have done on the cross for them, that you have paid their price for their guilt, for their shame, and for all their sin, Lord, that they may too have hope in you. Lord, we pray for our ministers and deacons also. I pray that they would know your will and they would care for us, your sheep, as they ought, Lord. It is a burden, it is a task that is heavy, Lord, and I'm sure they will do that with all fear. But I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them and guide them in everything that they need to do, Lord, as if you were here ourselves guiding us. Lord, I pray that the right person will be led to us to look over and oversee our children, Lord, for a children's ministry. Lord, we continue to look for that person. But we rest, Lord, not in our own time, but in your time, Lord. And we rest in the faith that you will bring to us the right person. And finally, I pray for all of us in our congregation, those who are struggling either with the cost of living, Lord, or with infirmities. Lord, I pray your hand of comfort will be on each and every one, and that we would know that we are not walking through this valley of the shadow of death alone, but you are with us, both now and forevermore, and we give you praise. Amen. So just before Nathan comes to open up the word of God to us, Let us sing two songs, It Is Well With My Soul and I Surrender.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, good morning to you all again. It's so good to see you today, and I know it's warm and I know time is going, but I want to share the word of the Lord with you today with the help of God as we start a brand new series entitled Theology from the Ocean. Can we say that together? Theology from the Ocean. Now, theology simply means the study of God. The study of God. So in connection to the ocean, the question that we're dealing with over the next 3 weeks or so is simply put, what can we learn about God from the ocean? What can we learn about God from the ocean? Our scripture reading today is from Psalm 107. Psalm 107, and I want to call your attention to verse number 23, and we're going to read several of the following verses. I'm reading from Eugene Peterson's Message paraphrase, and it reads like this: some of you set sail in big ships. You put to sea to do business in faraway ports. Out at sea, you saw God in action. You saw his breathtaking ways with the ocean. With a word, he called up the wind, an ocean storm, towering waves. You shot high in the sky, then in the bottom dropped out, and your hearts were stuck in your throats. You were spun like a top, you reeled like a drunk. You didn't know which end was up. Then you called out to God in your desperate condition. He got you out in the nick of time. He quieted the wind down to a whisper, put a muzzle on all the big waves, and you were so glad when the storm died down, and he led you safely back to harbor. So thank God for his marvelous love, for his miracle mercy to the children he loves. Lift high your praises when the people assemble. Shout hallelujah when the elders meet. I want to come back to verse number 23 again, just to establish our context for today. Some of you set sail in big ships. You put to sea to do business in faraway ports. I want to speak today from this thought: are you a control freak? Just look to the person sitting beside you and ask them the question: are you a control freak? Are you a control freak? Friends, from the outset, I want to be transparent concerning our new sermon series, Theology from the Ocean. I want to be very clear that my leading towards putting this series together is not based on my own personal heartfelt passion for the oceans or the study thereof. I don't personally espouse to be proficient in the knowledge of oceanography. I have no personal stories to tell of scuba diving in some ocean somewhere. No, I have not done swimming with the dolphins like some of you here today. But I, in fact, operate at a very basic level when it comes to swimming. I can just about get from one end of the swimming pool to the other. And that's depending on the length of the swimming pool. In fact, I'm embarrassed to even share with you today that as a 33-year-old man, I have still not mastered the art of treading water. So if you ever bump into me taking swimming lessons at Swallows in my 30s, please don't laugh at me, because as the old saying, it says that Rome was not built in a day. But church, in all seriousness, the reason behind this new series, Theology from the Ocean, it was birthed into fruition as a result of recent events that took place in the North Atlantic Ocean, just off the coast of Newfoundland in Canada, where five men set out on the deep waters on a deep dive mission using a man-made submersible. Stockton Rush, the chief executive officer of OceanGate, an explorer with a passion to break new boundaries, to defy the odds, to build something so strong and powerful and great enough to reach beyond the expectations of humanity, to plunge deep into the ocean, to explore the wreckage of a famous ship that sunk in 1912. The RMS Titanic. So these five enthusiasts, they set sail into the deep of the ocean to locate and to view the wreckage of the Titanic. But tragically, the five men would not reach their desired destination. They all would succumb to the elements of nature as the submersible imploded under the sheer weight and the scale of the ocean's pressure. As experts suggest that the pressure down in the ocean at around 4,000 meters deep, as they were, it was so devastating that it would have imploded the Titan in a matter of milliseconds. And church, after following the news intently, after this four-day search to try and locate the missing boat, it was at that moment that the Holy Spirit arrested my attention, and my preaching antennas, they went into full gear. And I began to reflect and ask the Lord in prayer, what does the ocean teach us about God? What are the relevant points? What connection does the ocean that God has made have for us in our daily lives today? What are those application links? What does the ocean teach us about our relationship with the Lord? What does the ocean teach us even about our own humanity? It's amazing, church, that God can often speak to us even at the most bizarre and random situations. He can speak to us not just when we're in the realms of praise and worship in the sanctuary, but we serve a God that's so powerful and big that he can even speak to us when we're just sitting down watching the news. He can speak to you even when you're doing the dishes in your house, taking care of the laundry, driving your car, taking the kids to school. Never underestimate the power of God, that he can speak to us even through the most practical everyday tasks. And if you don't believe me, all you have to do is ask our brother Moses in the Old Testament. Moses, who is tending his father-in-law's sheep, minding his own business, when he saw a bush that was on fire, but the bush was not consumed. And then he heard the voice crying out from the bush, "Moses, Moses, do not come any closer. Take off your shoes, your sandals, for the place in which you are standing is holy ground." And church, in like manner this morning, as I was following the news of this Ocean Gate story, I began to do some research into the ocean. And I came to discover that what lies beyond the deep of the ocean, it's so vast, so complex, that some have even suggested that man has a better knowledge of space than we do of what lies beneath the deep of the waters. So, church, what can we glean about the ocean this morning? What lessons can we apply to our lives from the ocean deep? Well, number one, I want to leave with you today. The first question I want to ask this morning is, number one, who is the captain of your ship? Can you say that with me? Who is the captain of your ship? Right here in Psalm 107, this Hebrew congregational song composed to the Israelites to remember and to reflect on the mercy of God and the watchful providential care of God. And from verse 23, it's interesting. Look what the writer says. He says, some of you set sail in big ships. You put to sea to do business in faraway ports. And just like those ancient Israelites of old and their fellow surrounding regions that relied on the sea to travel for the export of goods and commerce, to do business on the seaports, so it is in all of our lives that we set out each day to do our own business. We desire to go from A to B. We make decisions on a daily basis to do this or to do that. But the question that I want to raise this morning, who is in control of your own ship? Who is in charge of your life? And church, don't get me wrong. I'm not bashing those explorers who built that boat to launch into the deep. I know research is important. I know discoveries are important. But please understand, friends, it's important we get this. There's a limit to our own power and capability. There is a limit to our own human power and capability. And sometimes, because of our own innate desire to be in control of our own destinies, to be large and in charge, to be the captain of our own ships, it's at that moment that life has a way of launching us into the deep, where we're presented with challenges that are beyond our own human control. Yes, we have free will as humans to do as we please, to make our own choices and decisions. But please understand, it does not matter who you are or where you're from, none of us have unlimited power. It's almost like if you were to go to your local phone shop and they now have various data plans that you can choose from if you like the up-to-date smartphones that will give you access to the internet on your phone. And some of those plans, you'll find, they have a data limit. Whether it be 100 gigabytes, whether it be 500, there's a limit to your data plan. And if you go over the limit, they will charge you extra for exceeding the parameters of your chosen plan. But some network providers, they offer a different kind of plan. It's called the unlimited data plan, where there is now no restriction, no limit, no parameters. You can stream content on your phone all day, all night, till your heart's content. No limitations. And church, so it is with humanity. Sometimes we think that we can do what we want, go where we want, say what we want, because our perceived control, we have a perceived control of our own destinies. But the deep ocean, church, it teaches us that far beyond the deep, the limit limits of man are brought into full gear. Because when the human is launched so deep under the ocean, you'll find that oxygen levels are scarce beyond the deep. It is not comfortable for humanity to be launched so deep into the ocean without the aid of oxygen supplies. The ocean is not a safe place for humans to dwell. It's beyond the limit of our control. And church, I hear the Lord speaking through this ancient psalm that we have to be very careful with always seeking to be in control. We set out for sail on our own ships of our lives. We make decisions. We go about our business. But the question is this morning, are we going about our daily lives on our own whims? Are we making decisions based upon our own power? Are we exceeding the limits of our own human data plans? But as the old hymn writer of old puts it this way, take the name of Jesus with you. Child of sorrow and of woe, it will joy and comfort give you. Take it wherever you go. It goes on to say, take the name of Jesus ever as protection everywhere. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Church, may I encourage you this morning, wherever you travel, wherever you go, pray for the Lord to guide you. May he guide your footsteps. Say, Lord, lead me and guide me. Protect me along the way. I don't want to go in my own strength. I don't want to go and make decisions based upon my own humanity and emotions. But guide my footsteps. Why? Because we recognize as believers that God is sovereign. He is in control of all things. Although the pilot may be responsible for flying the airplane, but it's God who's really in control of the plane. Although the trained doctor may perform the surgery, but it's God who is the true healer and the great physician. God is in control, church. God will make a way, even when there's no way. He will sustain us even from the elements of danger. Because although there are limits to our own power, there is no limits to God's power. Hallelujah. So who is the captain of your ship? Amen. You know, history teaches us concerning the Titanic that some have even suggested that the ship at that time was unsinkable. It was mused, history teaches us, that word on the corner when the ship was being built that this was an unsinkable ship. Through a combination of the well-built ship, the materials that were used, and also the very experienced captain of the ship. As one of the survivors that I listened to as I watched a documentary sharing that as a child when she was on board the Titanic, her mom, who was also rescued that night, she was concerned and she was very discouraged by the fact that it was being mused that the ship was unsinkable. She felt that by saying that the ship was unsinkable, that it was flying in the face of God. And friends, in all of our lives, we have to know our limits. We have to know our role. God has all power, but we have delegated power. We have to make sure that we don't get too big for our boots, to be filled up with pride and arrogance, that we feel that we are the captain of our own ships. I'll never forget when I was younger and I said to my mom, I can't wait till I'm 18. I don't have to go to church anymore. I don't have to do what you tell me to do anymore. And now, lo and behold, look who I'm doing now for a living. Why? Because God is the captain of our ships. We have to be careful with the words that we speak. Always seeking to be in control. Always seeking to have the last word. We've got to be the loudest in the room. We have to recognize that God is in control. And especially concerning the church. Yes, I am the minister of this church, but I'm not in control of this church. If I am in control and in charge of this church, we're in trouble. But I thank God that we have a captain on board this ship. And his name is Jesus. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the head and not the tail. He's above and not beneath. His name is Jesus. He's the captain on board this ship. And if we ever think that we're so big and proud and arrogant, that we're in control, that we're in charge, then we run the risk of going overboard and allowing the elements of the ocean to swamp our boats. That's why we've got to make sure as a church that Jesus is always central to all that we do. He is the Lord of this church. We serve him. We look to him. We don't even make decisions without seeking him. Lead and guide us, Holy Spirit. Where we should turn, where we should go next. We don't want to go based on our own strength, but we want to be led of you. And friends, so it should be in all of our lives. It's not about, oh, I can make the decision because I've got money in the bank. I can make the decision because I'm in good health. I can make the decision because I know what I'm doing. But my question today, have you sought the Lord in prayer? He is the true captain, not only of this church, but of all of our lives. But secondly and finally, I want to leave with you this morning. Not only should we consider who is the captain of our ships, but finally, I want to leave with you, who solves the problem on board your ship? Can we say that together? Who solves the problem on board your ship? I love this in this psalm. It says, as they were traveling, because the ancient Israelites, they would have been well versed with using the seaports to do their daily business. But then the psalmist records here, it says, they ended up in a bad situation. Look what it says. It says, you shot high in the sky, the bottom dropped out, and your hearts were struck in your throats. You were spun like the top, like a reel. You were reeled like a drunk. This is talking about the boat, the ship, that because of the elements of the ocean, the storm came. It tossed the boat to and fro, and now they were in danger. But this is what I love. It says, then you called out to God in your desperate condition. I love that. Because sometimes when we run through problems on board our own ships in our lives, sometimes we only call on God as a last resort. Sometimes we can be so wanting to be in control that first and primarily we try to solve it based on our own strength. We've all been there. Come on, let's tell the truth, shame the devil. We've all been there. Let's try and sort it out on our own. Let's figure it out on our own. I'll never forget when Anna sent a wardrobe, one of those flat pack wardrobes. And I felt under pressure because, you know, wanting to be the man, you know. And I'm looking at this pack and I'm saying, well, should I attempt to do this? You see, I'm not very well versed when it comes to the DIY business. So we had to get someone to come and help us to put it up. But sometimes in our own pride as humans, We struggle to even admit that we need help. We want to solve the problem by ourselves. We want to struggle and go through what we're going through on our own because we don't even want to show any vulnerability. I can't share it, Brian, because it will come across as if I'm weak. And even sometimes in our own, dare I say, British culture, there's that, you know, stiff upper lip mentality. But what I love about this psalm, it says they cried out to God in their time of trouble, in their desperate condition. They understood who was the source that they could go to. And the challenge in all of our lives is sometimes we run into difficulty, but we're going to the wrong source to solve the problem. And sometimes we run to those sources and it only makes the problem worse. We've got to recognize who can help us on board our ship. God, I'm crying out to you. We need you to help us in our time of trouble. We're in a desperate condition on board this ship. And if you don't save us, then we will perish. Weren't it the disciples of the Lord who famously asked the question, Master, carest thou not that we perish? We've got to recognize, friends, all of the challenges that we face in our lives. God has come through Jesus Christ to show us the way. That we don't have to bear our burdens by ourselves. We don't have to be large and in charge to try and prove a point that we're big and bad and we can handle it by ourselves. But no, Jesus says, cast all cares. I want to help you with your burdens. I want to lessen the load that you bear. But will you turn to me? Or will you try to solve it by yourselves? Finally, in closing, I want to deal with another problem on board our ships. And it's so relevant that it's communion today. But I want to close by sharing that each and every one of us born into this world, we were born with a flawed ship. We were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. None of us were born perfect. There were holes in our boats. And the flood waters, automatically at birth, they flood our boats and they weigh us down. That is the weight of sin. And I know we've been talking about hymns a lot today. But there's an old hymn that I have to leave with you concerning this. It's so powerful. It says, I was sinking deep in sin. I was far from the peaceful shore. Verily stained within, I was sinking to rise no more. That is what sin does to us. But here is the good news. But, can we say but? But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me, and now safe am I. That is what Jesus Christ has done for all of us through his broken body and his shed blood. He has allowed us to be rescued from drowning in our sins. And he has lifted us up out of the water to walk in the newness of life. But friends, I want to leave with you today that we can't deal with this problem of sin by ourselves. We can't deal with it based upon our own self-willed power. We've got to let Jesus take care of it for us. does not matter how good we think we are, how many good deeds we've done. It's not enough to pay for our salvation, but only Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, his blood that was shed, can save us from the penalty of our sins. If you're here today and you have not yet embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I want to offer you today the captain of the sea, the captain of the ship. His name is Jesus. He wants to invite you on board his ship. It is the ship of eternal life. It is the ship of joy and peace. And if you're here today and you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I want to lovingly invite you to raise your hand in faith and say, Lord, come into my life. I want to give you control. I'm tired of trying to do things on my own power, but I want to give you control. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Is there anyone here today that you want to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I want you to raise your hand now in faith and say, Lord, come into my life. Are you here today? If anyone wants to give their lives to Jesus, today is a great day that you can know him for yourself. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we first of all want to admit our flaws, that all of us at times have a tendency to want to be in control. This is not a point finger session to see who in the congregation has problems with being in control, but all of us at times in our lives struggle, Lord, with wanting to be in control, wanting to have the last say, wanting to be in charge, wanting to make our voices heard. But we thank you, Lord, that through the ocean, you teach us that there are elements to the ocean that is beyond our human power and control. That we have to trust you as the author and the finisher of our faith. That we have to trust you even in those times when it seems like life has us like we're sinking deep in the ocean. But in those moments, just like those ancient Israelites, I pray, Lord, that we would call out to you, knowing that you are the author and the finisher of our faith, knowing that you are sovereign over all things and you are in control. So, Lord, I pray your blessing be upon your people now. Lord, if anyone be here today struggling with letting go, struggling with wanting to be in control, I pray, Lord, this week, that they will be able to be ministered to by you this week, to let them know that you love them and you want to take the helm. You want to be in control of the ship. So, Lord, we just surrender all to you now for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. As the worship team come back, we're preparing to leave. Amen. I pray that you have been blessed today by the ministry of God's word, as we want God to be in control. We want him to be in control. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Nathan, for that word. I'm sure we all want to, at some point, be in control of something, some part of our day, some part of our life. But thank God we're not in charge of our redemption. Amen? Amen. If it's down to us, we'd make a mess of it in a heartbeat, I'm sure. But we are redeemed because of the blood of the Lamb. And we do look forward to that day where Jesus comes back, so we will meet him in the air. So we're going to stand and sing as our last song an extended version of These Are the Days of Elijah. An extended version. We'll see how it goes. We did practice it this morning.
These are the days of Elijah.
To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Amen. Please do join us in the church lounge for teas and coffees and a drink and a chance to fellowship one with another. And let's go to God now in prayer as we receive the benediction. So now unto him who is able to keep each of us from falling and to present us one day faultless before the glory of his presence with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion and power, both now, henceforth, and forevermore. And all God's children, let us say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Go in peace. Amen. Go in the joy of the Lord Jesus. Amen.